Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play it by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people. The Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. So far, our sermon text. In Christ Jesus, the perfect ruler, dear fellow redeemed, 2 weeks from today, we'll once again be celebrating our country's independence. We've indeed been blessed by God to have freedom to live, to work, to worship, to travel, wherever we want. Freedom to speak, to think, to say, to do, to write what we want. This freedom has been given to us by God through the hard work of many, many people over the past 245 years of American history. And throughout all those years, we've had many presidents. Some good, some not so good. Some moral, some immoral. Some honest, some dishonest. And the same can be said about all the elected officials of our country over the past 245 years. Senators, congresspeople, assembly, council, school boards, mayors. Some great servants of the people, others servants of themselves. Well, the people of Judah also suffer the same kind of up and down rulership, evil, ungodly kings followed by faithful kings, ever since the time of King David. For 200 years, the people have been having this roller coaster ride of ungodly, immoral, evil kings rising to the throne, followed by faithful, righteous kings. And now, here in Isaiah chapter 11, the Lord says, there'll be a new ruler coming. One will not just be good and faithful, but this one will be the perfect ruler. There are three very important truths that we need to learn from this morning's text. And the first is this. This perfect ruler comes from the house of Jesse. Second truth, this perfect ruler shall judge mankind with the Spirit of God upon him, and with all righteousness and faithfulness. And thirdly, this perfect ruler shall bring about an everlasting kingdom of perfect peace and harmony. In the verses just prior to chapter 11, the last verses of chapter 10, the Lord describes the Assyrian powerful army and their king as big trees in a forest. But then he says, because of the Assyrian king's arrogance, thinking that his so-called gods, his idols, were as great, if not greater, than the Lord Jehovah, the God of Israel. The Lord God says in verses 33 and 34, behold, the Lord of hosts will lop off the bow with terror. Those of high stature will be hewn down, and the haughty will be humbled. He will cut down the thickets of the forest with iron, and Lebanon will fall by the mighty one. The Lord God will topple all these leaders of these ungodly nations like lumbermen, cut down trees, and all that's left is the stump. That greatly impressed the people of Isaiah's day. God's going to destroy all these enemies. There's going to be a stump left. And so Isaiah uses the same picture in chapter 11 of another once mighty kingdom, the mighty tree of King David. It too will be cut down. But Isaiah doesn't even say it'll be a stump of David. He says a stump of Jesse, David's father. By the time that Jesus arrives, David's kingdom will be long past, long forgotten, like a rotting stump that no one even looks at. But out of that stump will come a rod, a shoot. It'll eventually grow into a branch and then grow into the mightiest, the greatest tree ever in the history of this world, the greatest kingdom of all, the perfect ruler, Jesus Christ, and his eternal kingdom. All coming from the house of Jesse. We thank God that we've been able to now in the future look back upon the past and be able to know the prophecy has been fulfilled in Jesus. Jesus was humbly born, like a little shoot poking his head out of the side of a stump. He was insignificant. Born with an unknown descendant of David, Mary, a virgin girl. His adopted father was a carpenter, so he became a legal descendant of David as well. His beginning, however, was not glorious and grand. He was born in a stable, laid in a manger, poor even according to the standards of his day. And yet this shoot, this branch, this rod, would be rich and strong in the Spirit. Isaiah begins this section by saying that this perfect ruler will be given six blessings, six gifts from the Spirit. The first two, wisdom and understanding. The word wisdom there means the ability and insight to judge the nature of things. Understanding, being able to choose or decide between various possibilities and then take the best, most advantageous course of action. These two gifts describe the intellect of Jesus. He would have the ability to see and understand the nature of man, the nature of things, and be able to choose the right course of action, come up with the right plan to solve the problem. Next two gifts, counsel and might. He reminded of last Sunday's sermon text, the child with four names. Two of them, wonderful counselor, mighty God. The perfect ruler would have the greatest counsel because this counsel came direct from God. He devises the perfect plan. And then being God, he has the ability to carry out that plan and put it into effect. We heard last week that this God child, Emmanuel, fulfilled the greatest plan ever devised. God the Father's plan to save all sinful human beings from all their spiritual enemies and give them eternal peace. But every day, Jesus was confronted with situations where he had to evaluate the situation and the need, choose the course of action, make a plan, and carry it out. Not for himself, but for the glory of his Father and for the welfare of human beings. We see that every day in Jesus' life in the New Testament. We see that in his feeding of the 5,000, calming the sea, raising of Lazarus, raising the widow's child of Nain, raising of Jairus' daughter, casting out those legion of demons from that man from the Gadarenes, throwing out those money changers, healing the blind man, and many, many more miracles. Jesus had to look at the need, evaluate the need, come up with a plan, and then fulfill that need. In every case, Jesus did what was right, to the glory of his Father and for the welfare of human beings. Throughout the New Testament, page after page after page shows Jesus' counsel and might, his wisdom and understanding being put into practice. We saw it this morning in our gospel reading too, with the woman caught in adultery. The last two gifts, knowledge of the Lord and fear of the Lord. Here the word knowledge doesn't mean a head knowledge, but knowledge that comes from the heart. Being so united and bound together with the other person that you're like one. That's what Jesus was with the Father. His will was the Father's will. The Father's will was his will. Determination, desires, and wills all united as one. And that is because of the great fear, respect, and reverence that Jesus has for his Father. Jesus yielded his own will to his Father's will. It wasn't unpleasant. It wasn't a burdensome thing. Jesus said, it was my delight to do the Father's will. He kept every single commandment of his Father in thought, word, and deed. So add up all these gifts. Wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge and fear of the Lord, and you've got the perfect ruler. This Messiah, this Emmanuel, stands in sharp contrast to all the insufficient rulers that occupied the throne of Judah year after year. They were unsatisfactory. This one would be perfect. This perfect ruler will not judge as human beings do. We judge by what we see and by what we hear. But sometimes our sight is blurred. Sometimes we don't see what we really think we see. Sometimes we don't hear what someone's really telling us. Or we hear what we want to hear. Or sometimes we hear lies. This ruler judges by what he knows is in the heart. We read in 1 Samuel, "For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." This judging of the perfect ruler will be a judgment of death upon the worldly minded, the wicked. Isaiah says in verse 4, "He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked." The ungodly, the immoral of this world will not be able to escape the justice and judgment of God. But for the poor, the weak, the helpless, those who despaired of themselves, turned away from their own righteousness, and confessed their sins and repented their sins and looked alone to the Messiah, they'll receive his righteousness and a gift as a gift, and they'll bask in his faithfulness forever. You read the first part of verse 4 and verse 5. "But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist." What a beautiful picture we have of this perfect ruler's rule over all of us. The haughty, the arrogant, the proud, the conceited, the defiant, the immoral, the ungodly of this earth, they're judged by God to shame and everlasting condemnation. But to the repentant, to those who know they have no sins, who are depraved in their sins and realize that, confess their sins and look to Jesus alone, they shall be judged to everlasting joy in heaven. And finally, we see the last point. This perfect ruler should bring about an everlasting kingdom of perfect harmony and perfect peace. We read our text, verses 6 through 9. "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Amazing picture here, isn't it? These are figurative pictures of the perfection of paradise and of the spiritual peace that we now have as believers with our Almighty God. Even with the widespread hostility and hatred and murder in this world, we're at peace spiritually with each other as Christians and with our Heavenly Father through Jesus. Isaiah says the peace of his kingdom will be just like it was way back in the Garden of Eden prior to sin, when the wolf lived at peace with the lamb, when the leopard slept next to the goat, when the calves and the lions and the cows and the bears all fed together. No blood was shed. All these animals lived in harmony and peace. When snakes were not poisonous, so even the most helpless of humans, a little baby, could play with cobras and vipers in their holes and not be hurt. Can we imagine such perfect peace and harmony? I don't think so. We can't. Because we're so accustomed to, so used to, the disharmony, the selfishness, the hatred, the jealousy, the discontentment, the bloodshed, the sickness, the disease, the death that this world gives to us. We can't even imagine what perfect peace and perfect harmony can be like. But those of us who know the perfect ruler by faith will someday enjoy and experience that perfect peace and that perfect harmony. And that'll come when our Savior comes again on his second coming at the end of time. Then all the earth will know the Lord as waters cover the sea. And all who know Jesus as their God and Savior will come together in glory and joy and salvation in heaven. And all those who rejected him will acknowledge him too to be Lord, God, and Savior, but to their shame and to their condemnation in hell. And so we conclude with the last verse of our text, verse 10. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. About 2 weeks, you'll see all kinds of banners, all kinds of American flags flying. Those flags symbolize our country and the freedom that it stands for. Well, Isaiah says that Jesus is not only like a great tall tree and kingdom, he's also like our banner, our flag that should be held high. When soldiers went into battle, they carried the flags of their country to show what country they're defending, where they're coming from, who they're loyal to. So we too, as we go into battle in this world, should fly high the banner of Christ and his word to show whose people we belong to, whose people we are, to whose kingdom we belong to, and to whom we are loyal. What's the flag? What's the banner? Well, I would say in the flag and banner of Christ would be the picture of his cradle, of the cross, and the empty tomb. When we carry that flag, that banner, in our daily life, we'll be able to draw others to Jesus. Tell them about this baby born of a virgin, this God-man crucified on the cross, this Savior rising from the dead to assure us of a resurrection, everlasting life, washing away of our sins, perfect peace and harmony someday, and draw them all to Jesus. Why? Isaiah tells us, because his resting place is a place of perfect harmony, perfect peace in his kingdom, which will indeed be glorious forever and ever. Amen. The peace of God which passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.